All right, thanks. All right, let's finish up this section. 13 to 20. Paul, you got that? You want to take 13?
Where are we at?
Chapter 4, verse 13. We're at St. Mark's Lutheran Church.
Be nice.
He was. He could have told you something else.
We know that we live in him and he in us.
Chapter 4, verse 13.
Chapter 4?
Yep.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4, 13.
Mark.
What have you been studying all
that's
this
all right.
time?
You're right, I'm behind.
We're here to encourage you.
A lot.
Mark 14.
Mark 4, verse 15.
You want to use mine, dear? Right here. Huh? Right there. Go for it.
Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The Father sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfaithful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Thank you. So, we're going to talk about the four areas. Keeping in mind, at that time, seed was cast by hand, so not always the most accurate, depending on the person. And thus, seed would find its way in different types of soil. So just take a couple moments, either on your own or with a couple of people around you, and answer the questions there. Identify the four areas seed was sown and the significance of each area. Just so take a moment or two, either on your own or with those next to you.
I can't be in the wrong chapter.
We got it.
Wrong thing.
We got it. Another minute. Thank you. All right, so the first area that seed fell on would be?
Along the path.
Okay, along the path, the road. What happened to that seed? Not there. Yeah, the birds ate the seed. Right? Hey, easy pickings. All right, thank you. The significance of that?
Devil usually can take it away from them.
Yeah. Yes, he does. He's waiting, right, to remove that seed before any action can take place. Think of how many countries that can be set up where the gospel is not even allowed to get in, or if it is able to get in, a foot in the door, how quickly that foot's kicked up before it has a chance to take root. The second area?
Rocky soil.
Rocky soil, okay. What's the issue with rocky soil? Yeah, there's not much there, right? So it can't really take root. And the significance there?
We have to lead a life of substance.
What was the first part of that?
We need to lead our life of substance.
Thank you. Need a life of substance, right? You know, there's a possibility of a root that can grow up, but again, not much soil there. It's not very strong. People have said, you know, hey, we're on board with the gospel until trouble comes. And I didn't sign up for the roses with thorns on them. And they're not into denying themselves, what Jesus has said. Take up your cross and deny yourself. Third area, the thorns. Okay, it could grow, but it could outmatch the competition, being the weeds. The significance? Kind of similar to the one before.
Troubles of this life.
Yeah. Right? So they have faith, but the troubles of this life, the worries and cares and so forth that Jesus warns us about end up choking out that faith. Or we start out on a good path, but then we get distracted by sports camps and this and that. And so pretty soon we're not nurturing that faith. Because, you know, how many people, if they're not hearing the word in church, are picking up that word on their own at home? Not saying it's not being done, but if you're not being in the Word, what's happening? Okay, don't drink water for a week. What happens? I don't recommend it, but you know, saying, I mean, this is, the faith is alive. What God puts us in is alive, and if you don't feed something that's living, what's going to happen to it? And the evidence may not be there right away, just like if you don't drink water every day. Or look at our trees, if they don't get water, what's Chuck, right? If our trees don't get water, pretty soon they're going to start showing the signs. And then if they don't get any water at all, no more tree. So how important it is to stay connected. People make the excuse, well, I'll make time for church later. Later may not come as an 18-wheeler ran into your lane. Fourth area. Oh, Jerry.
Well, I was going to say, also hearing the word and studying really needs to be done with others or with something that's guided, but even preferably with others, because you need that sounding board and that sometimes to be set straight, a different point of view to get what's really in the Bible.
Yeah, excellent point. How we need each other to help grow or keep ourselves in the right direction. And for those who think, hey, I know it all, I don't need to go, well, come share your wealth, right? Welcome your knowledge with us. Don't be selfish with it. Fourth area?
Good soil.
Good soil. Because the soil was good already, right? All right. You know, God is the one. Some will take this, read into it, and say, well, see, you know, I can ask Jesus in my heart because I'm a good person. No, that's not what this parable is talking about. God prepares the soil as well. The significance of this?
Produces a crop.
And not just an insignificant crop, but bountiful crop. The gospel has taken root through word and sacrament, and through that word and sacrament bears fruit, abundant fruit. It helps connect the dots. To Jerry's point, when we're together, we can help each other connect the dots of God's plan of salvation. Because everybody has questions. Not everybody always willing to raise their hand and ask the questions they have. But they feel better when someone else asks that question than their own mind going, thank you.
Could God also be talking about different stages in your life, phases that you go through? Maybe, and maybe you're willing to accept God's word when it comes to going to church, but when it comes to stewardship, maybe it's on rockier soil. So it could be phases, stages in life that he's talking about that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not so much the stages of life, how we go through it, but there's evidence of it, like you said. I may not like a particular section of God's words, and then I drift away. Right. And so that word that once had taken root isn't going to bear anymore. Yeah.
I was going to say probably the same thing, is as we go through life and as we listen to other people, no matter how many times you read a scripture, and you're probably more proficient than I am, there's always something new. So to her point, if you have other people, they say, well, when I read that, this is what I gleaned from that passage.
Yeah, because are we ever going to get to a point where we know it all on this side of the world? No. So there's always room for us to grow as long as we have the opportunity to do so. Who has an excuse then not to listen to the Word of God? No one. And how many times is that phrase repeated? He who has an ear, let him hear. There's a reason why that phrase is repeated. God has given us the ability to hear the Word of God. Blessed are they who hear the Word of God and obey it. Faith comes to those who hear the message. Right? What is the kingdom of God in this context? The best place to be. It's connected to what we pray for in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, your kingdom or thy kingdom come, what are we asking God to do with that petition?
Create faith in our hearts.
Create faith in our hearts and
keep us in the faith.
You know, Lord, rule in our hearts. Continue that rule in our hearts and begin that rule in the hearts of others. So the kingdom of God in this context is his ruling activity, the preaching of the gospel. Can that be measured here on earth? We don't know where all the places the gospel has been preached and is being preached and will be preached. And so, Lord, we pray your kingdom come. Continue to rule in our hearts and rule in the hearts of others. Hearts that we're not even aware of. Like the Apostle Paul said, I can't wait to get to heaven to see all the people that have been touched with the gospel through my preaching. People he did not meet, people who were in the crowd, or people who took the message he shared and shared it with others. So how important it is, you know, that we're here gathered around the Word and through that encouragement, and also then the encouragement that comes through our offerings, we're able to, you know, share the gospel. You have a hand in that. Ruling activity. So, again, moving toward a goal of either judgment or deliverance. But in the meantime, we pray for growth. And that people will end up on the side of deliverance. Why is the word secret fitting when it comes to various things concerning God in connection to verse 11? And what's the significance behind choosing them? And Rosemary?
Well, I was just going to say maybe also that some things are secret because they're only understood through faith. And so if your faith is weak, you are asking him, you will understand those things.
Yeah, because on our own, we're not going to understand the Word of God or even seek out that Word of God. So the apostles, they were not going to seek out Jesus. He sought them and appointed them to be his apostles. And same with us too. We don't seek out the Lord. He seeks us out. We've talked about that before. Those who make the decision for Christ, they may very well be believers. We're not doubting that. But how they have come to be believers is not by their own doing or choosing, third article, but by God's doing and choosing.
It's revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it can come to us. We can't We can't seek it, we can't search it, because we don't know what we're looking for.
Exactly. And so in that context, the Word of God makes it stand out and proves the fact that it's not written by human beings, is this message which is secret, which God reveals to us. Because at the heart of his message is what? What's at the heart of his message in the Bible?
His plan of salvation.
Yeah, his plan of salvation. By grace, through faith. If it was by man's idea, it would be by works. And so in that sense, it's a mystery, a secret. We would not come up with this on our own because we focus on what we have to do. And that's something we still have to struggle with because our own nature still wants to put the emphasis on, look how good a person I am. Well, really, everything needs to reflect on what God has done for me, his mercy. So in that sense, it's a fitting way to use the word secret. It has to be revealed. And thus, that emphasizes the importance of mission work. People are not going to come to the gospel on their own. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him if they don't hear about him? Well, who is he given so that they can hear? Right here. Yep. What preconceived notions do people have about being a Christian in connection with verse 17? Steve.
It's going to be fun and everything is good. We're in good times here. Let them roll.
Yeah. Michael.
Which of course aligns with that, unfortunately. That's why I have a lot of disdain for the so-called health and wealth gospel, which might still be around. I did believe in Jesus. You'll be prosperous and health and material gain, all that too. And if you don't have that, your faith is weaker, you're in sin.
Okay.
And to me, that's just it's a great sermon.
You know, again, can Christians have fun? Sure, and clean fun is really the best kind of fun.
You know, your conscience working overtime and so forth.
But sometimes we can mislead people too, because sometimes as Christians, we don't give the impression that Christianity is fun. We just receive forgiveness one-on-one through Holy Communion. How to reflect afterwards. Yeah. I mean, that's good German respect. So I'm not trying to minimize that. But, you know, by our actions, we sometimes can mislead people. And hardships are going to come. And when those hardships come, we have something to help us work through those hardships, even if those hardships are not taken away. And so we need to help people understand, as we have come to understand, and continually need to grow in an understanding that crosses, whether they be physical, emotional crosses, or especially crosses connected to our faith, persecution, that God can use those crosses to help us draw closer to him, keeping our eye always on the prize. But yeah, by you know, people aren't signing up for that. And so we need to tell the whole truth. Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 11. Let's look up that. In connection to how God's word works. Dick, have it.
Lord, while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Verse 11?
Through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
Okay, so what do we need to keep in mind again when it comes to the planting and the spread of the gospel? All right. He's given us the privilege to plant the seed. The growth is up to him, Steve.
That was what I was going to say. All we do is throw the seed out there, and he does the rest for us. Ask any farmer what he might think about when he puts that crop on the ground. He's at the mercy of the weather.
Yeah, when we were an agricultural nation, in large, more people believed in God because they recognized they're dependent on this higher power. As we became industrial, hey, look what my hands have made. But then again, who gave us the ability to make things and put the materials there for us to make? You know, again, ask a scientist to make dirt from scratch. Can't do it.
Ask people today where you get your food from. Grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, what do they get, huh? They get it from a warehouse. And they don't understand that. I think a lot of people really to this day don't understand what it takes to get food.
True.
I think we have to be careful that God will never drift away from us, but we have to be careful that we don't drift away from him. So he's always there for us. And sometimes we don't think he is, but he's always there. But we have a tendency to not believe that and start drifting away. So
right.
we need to be called back always.
Sure, and that's where brothers and sisters come in. Who better to help bring back? You know, let's not give up meaning together. Yeah, so he is always faithful. We're the ones who drift. So if we think somebody's moved in the process, it's not God. It's us, Jerry.
Well, at the beginning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That's like, there's no better time than now. I mean, do it now. Don't wait for a better time to do it.
Right. And the word does produce results. Sometimes those results are favorable. And sometimes those results are not favorable as people reject the word of God. But the word always does produce results. Important for us to keep in mind. And so that's why, as you mentioned already, that it's not important. It's important that we don't try to manipulate the word of God. Let the word speak for itself. Sometimes we might be tempted to focus on programs. Or if we just do this way, that'll bring people into the church. Or if I come up with the right argument, that'll help people. Doesn't work that way. You know, that childlike faith and that childlike witness. How beautiful that is. Right? God does the growing. Next section. A lamp on a stand. Any readers for that? Lisa?
Right.
Just that section. 21 that. Okay.
He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him."
All right. So what is the evangelism message in this section?
Where are we?
The second section. So a lamp.
21.
On a stand, verses 21 and following. Thank you. Mark chapter 4 again.
Let your light shine so other people see it.
Let your light shine. Right? The light of Jesus shine through you. Yes, that's one of the prayers that we sometimes will use in our order of service. Lord, let people see you through me, through our words and actions. Let us not be ashamed of it. The last section emphasizes there are many distractions to the word, many barriers that are brought up, and one of those is we're made to feel ashamed of our belief system, being backwards and gunslinging and all that type mentality. But as Paul said, let's not be ashamed, because the only power source for people to come to faith is through the gospel. All right, so what is the stewardship message in this section? Okay, it was even a commercial one of those insurance companies that it kind of takes this example of, you express an act of kindness, pass it on. You know, be good stewards. Rosemary, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that the light needs to be out in the world. So we need to be out in the world, shining your light.
Yeah, in both cases, right? Jesus has given us faith. He's given us opportunities to live that faith, to let his light shine individually and collectively. And again, we put a sign out there, hey, this is St. Mark's campus. Is that just enough? Is that all we need to do? No, let the light shine from here. We're just directing people back that we gather together, but we need to go and let that light shine. If we just kind of hunker down, what's going to happen? Last one out, turn the lights off. You know, so we're out there to grow, to let that light shine. We need to make a difference, and we can make a difference. One soul at a time. Sometimes we get caught up, though, and we go with the bigger numbers. But just like with that seed, it teaches us patience. You see one plant pop up, and then another. They don't necessarily always pop up at the same time.
I think we always have to be aware to don't become complacent. I think that's the fear that I have. Sometimes we feel comfortable, so we don't want to do anymore. But we always got to keep going forward.
Well, we'll help you stay uncomfortable. Don't worry about it.
Your job.
And a fine job you do.
Anybody else on the hand up? All right. So what is the common theme between this section and the previous one? Nicole.
Our faith is living. It's not supposed to be stagnant.
Okay, faith is living. It's not to be stagnant. And along those lines, what else about the faith should we not expect, especially when it comes to how we view our fellow Christians? Yeah, we always need to grow. We're not all going to grow at the same rate and pace, right? So the maturity factor that comes in there and the consistency of our words and actions may not always be there. I mean, again, we're, in a sense, from sanctification, we're works in progress. We're saved by grace. That's instantaneous. Either you believe or you don't. I mean, you're saved or you're not. But how we grow, how we live the faith, that's going to be a work in progress. And so sometimes our expectations, they need to be realistic of one another. So patience is called for. That doesn't mean we're going to make excuses for people. We're going to hold them accountable to God's standards, while at the same time we're going to be patient as we want people to be patient with us. But again, that reminder, don't be so busy and consumed about taking the speck out of your neighbor's eye without taking the plank out of your own eye first.
Yeah, I think James tells us faith without works is dead. So we need to keep working our faith.
Yeah.
Growing in our faith and working.
Right. How important that is to grow in the faith.
We're not in James.
I know. I'm not in James, I know.
But it's a good reference. Exactly. And so when it comes to even sharing the faith, does it always happen in our terms? When we witness to somebody? No. And we can become disappointed with patience. And maybe the seed that you planted, someone else will be able to build on. And again, maybe you won't see the results of that until you get to heaven. Or maybe 20 years later, you'll come back to your town or whatever, or see that person in the grocery store, and they'll say, hey, you know, thanks to you, I'm now confessing Jesus as my Savior. You just never know. And so we plant the seed. All right, next section. In this overview of Mark, the parable of the growing seed, a short one, 26 to 29. The reader. Oh, Heather.
He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel and the head. And soon as the grain is ripe, puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come.
All right, so Jesus is definitely building a theme with these sections. And keep in mind, too, he was just talking, so someone later on divided up into sections, but they fit well. What is the evangelism? Oh, sorry. How does faith come and grow? by the Holy Spirit through the Word, right? So again, God is behind the growth. We touched on it in connection to the last section. What's important for us to keep in mind as we plant the seed of the gospel?
Not only is God behind the growth, what else do we need to keep in mind?
He's the one that creates the faith.
He's the one who creates the faith, okay? It's not always going to happen in our timetable. Who do we share the gospel with? Everybody. Whether they got yellow hair, red hair, purple hair, tattoos, no tattoos, earrings, right? Let us be careful not to write people off. Because all people need to hear the gospel. And again, patience. Maybe it won't take root right away. But let your light shine. You know, maybe it is a hostile work environment that you're in. So you're not going to be able to openly share your faith. But how you conduct yourself can lead to perhaps to a talking point. And maybe not with somebody at work, but maybe someone who knows you and knows how you conduct yourself will one day ask, as Peter pointed out, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have.
Yeah. And I think it may be a slow and gradual process, like a plant. A plant gets planted and it just takes a while to get to its bloom. And that's what may take place. So it takes patience.
It takes patience, right?
I had a lot of patience.
A lot of patience.
Oh, boy.
Don't go there.
That's right. So as with all three sections so far, we recognize that God is behind the growth. We are to plant the seed. Bottom line, as we talked about in Romans 1, the power of the gospel. In Isaiah, the word does bear fruit. What can we say about God's word then in conclusion? How would you sum up God's word in connection to these three sections?
Sometimes we don't know how God's word works in people's hearts. Or most probably most of the time we don't.
Yep. So we don't always know how God's word works. And so sometimes then we think God's word doesn't work. But these sections emphasize that God's word is effective. It is powerful. It does work. Not always producing the results that we had in mind. But then again, as long as there is breath in a person, we continue to witness as we have opportunity to do so. Okay.
This may be a silly question, but if God knows who is going to be saved, he knows that. He's omnipotent. He knows that. Why does he, and I say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, waste our time witnessing the people that he knows aren't going to be saved?
Because we don't know who, and he gives us the privilege to share the gospel. Go and make disciples.
But wouldn't our time be better spent spending it on people that he knows are going to be saved that may just need a little
bit? Yeah, but again, we don't know who that is, right? Yeah. So part of that is, you know, this is God. This is the way he's done it. He could just zap everyone out of existence, or he could just pull everyone into heaven. That's not the way he operates. You know, faith is the entry point, right? So how do people come to faith? He's made it clear through the message. You know, how are people to get that message? Through us. Well, and again, too, why, you know, it's an excellent point, though, and it leads us to why we don't just put up that church sign, like you said, and expect people just to flock in. We need to go.
Well, and also, when we spread the word, and I'm answering my own question, but when we spread the word, it gives us, teaches us more. It's as much for us as it is for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. You had time to
answer. Well, I was also going to say God is very patient. I know of a lot of people, I'm sure you do, that came to faith at like the 11th or 12th hour of life.
Sure. Yeah.
Noah preached for 120 years and only 8 were saved.
Yeah. Noah, 120 year message, and 8 were saved.
I love Jonah, and this always reminds me, you know, first he tries to run away, then he gets, you know, thrown in there, does his job. Then he's upset because they listened to him. He wanted them to be. Isn't that so human?
Yep. It is.
You know, I don't know. I don't really care how he does it. That's his business. It's just a matter of going out and telling people about him and how slow he does it or how fast he does it. That's his. That's not mine. That's not mine. If he wanted us to know that, he would have told us.
Sure, I mean, it is God's business. That reminds me of another point, though, too. Individually, you know, we can, God-pleasing means and ways to share the gospel. Corporately, there are some things we may not do that we would do individually, just for the sake of order, and making sure we're always sending the right messages. Because individually and corporately, who are we representing? We're always representing God. We're His ambassadors. And then corporately, we're representing God and St. Mark's, and how we do things individually may not be how we do things corporately with mission outreach. And so it's patience with the church, too, because there are many facets to the work of the church, and so we have to keep that in mind as we look at the big picture. You know, some might say our entire budget should just be used for outreach. Well, what about the inreach? I mean, that's important, too. You got to feed people. You know, and so it's...
we have a lunch.
Yeah, you know, we are having a potluck next week, right? But just patience, too, with the church at large as we do our work. And Lord willing, on the first Sunday of August, we're going to do a little plug on mission work. We're going to review the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society rally, what happened there. You know, they have their annual rallies. Wells World and Home Mission put together a nice short video capturing some of the work that they're doing. We'll talk about that briefly. There's just a lot of great work being done, which Wells Connections try to capture, and there's things in print. But by the grace of God, there's so much being done that we're not even aware of, and some things we can't even tell because of safety reasons. And not just through us and the Wells, but through other faithful Christian organizations. I mean, praise God, the gospel is being shared with people. We're not even aware of what He's all doing. So let's continue to pray that not only, Lord, may Your word continually take root in me and bear fruit, but also that it does the same in the hearts of others. All right. How does faith come and grow? Romans 1:16. We talked about it. We have references to it. Let's hear it in full. Romans 1:16. Greg?
It's the gospel has the power of God that brings salvation.
To all peoples,
Jews and Gentiles.
And that word there has the power, literally dynamite, has an explosive effect. Don't underestimate the ability of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7. Larry.
I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters it is anything, but only God.
All right, another point to keep in mind, God is the one who causes things to grow. Why doesn't it always take root in the hearts of people? What did we still hang on to after the fall into sin?
You can say our old Adam.
Yeah, our ability to reject. We cannot accept God. Adam and Eve had the ability to choose to serve God or to reject Him, and we know which way they went. We lost that ability to choose Him. We've hung on to the ability to reject Him. So no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so here on earth, through the gift of faith, that relationship with God is restored in part, and in heaven it will be restored in full. That relationship that Adam and Eve had and threw away. But God, by God's grace, it was restored again. We pray that we never fall away, but continue to grow in that relationship. And that happens then through God, who causes the growth. All right, next section in Mark, the parable of the mustard seed. Jenny?
Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? For what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
All right. Enough of the parables, Jesus. And yet, what is the point of Jesus using another parable? Steve.
Well,
kind of understand. Let's put it this way. He could have told them straight, and they still wouldn't have understood it any better. Maybe worse. They could relate to some of these things, like, you know, in life.
Sure.
We don't relate as well. I don't think we understand that. But it was relatable and an easy way to teach them.
So it did serve as a memory aid. For the believers, they would grasp what the Holy Spirit's doing. For the unbeliever, the opposition, they wouldn't know how to respond to what he said. You know, talking practical. But the overall point of Jesus using parables was to help his people think bigger and spiritual, while not overwhelming them with all the details. So they had that memory aid. There's a point to it, not just a physical point. Think bigger, think spiritual time.
I don't know how many people have actually seen a mustard seed when it's grown. We had a park in Southern California, and every year one hill would be covered with mustard seed, and it was like 7-8 feet high. It was just amazing how big it got.
And so again, don't underestimate the ability of God in his word, which is what we get into the next one. Agree or disagree? Faith is only valid when a person makes it their own. Faith is only valid when a person makes it their own.
I don't think so, because you've got to be able to share that faith. If it's just your own, you will embrace it and hang on to it. You've got to be able to share the faith that you have.
But I think of it as, when it's my own, if it's something that you own, you take care of it, you want it to be, you want it to grow, and you want to share it. You own it.
Okay. Done.
Well, I think your actions also reflect your faith. So, in that sense, you're not keeping it in yourself. You're sharing it just by the way you act.
Okay. Lisa?
I thought of the thief on the cross. His actions did not reflect faith because he didn't have it till the last minute. And then Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." His faith was valid.
Okay.
It was saving.
Yeah, it's kind of a trick statement in a sense, right? I mean, faith in Jesus is saving faith. Now, we want to make that faith our own, but making it our own, you know, if I'm baptized as an infant, do I have faith?
Yes.
Have I made it my own? And that may happen at a different age for different people, right? But was it valid before that?
Yeah.
Sure. Because the validity of my faith is not dependent on me taking ownership of it. It's valid because it comes from God.
It's a gift from God.
It's a gift from God, right? And as we make it our own, that is a gift from God too, because then as it's our own, we definitely want to take care of it. We want to nurture it. We want to share it with others so that gift of God becomes their own too. It's a both and. Again, depending on how you read into it. We just want to clarify that it's not something we do, but it's all God again. Fred.
I think the point is that the faith is always there. It's a matter of our receptivity to it, our openness to it. So when it becomes our own, it means we receive it, we know that it's there. We're aware of it, so it's not, we're conscious of it. It's always there, but when it becomes our own, we're conscious of it. And therefore, if we're conscious of it, we can allow it to shine.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important that it does become our own. Like with our children, do our children want to come to church when they're little?
They don't have a choice.
Right?
Exactly.
But we're confident, though, they have faith, and that faith can be nurtured when they're there. But we pray that it becomes to the point where they want to come on their own. And so we provide opportunities to be in the Word so it gets to that point. And so again, the validity of our faith, it's all in Jesus. Some may also say, how can how can words on a page make a difference in someone's life? What's behind those words? The Holy Spirit. The Word of God is living and active. Romans 1 again, it's the dynamite, it's the power source. So they're not just words. And we have to be careful that we don't just fall into that trap. You know, again, we need a program. We need a gimmick. We need this or that to bring people in. It's the Word. Well, that doesn't mean we can't use pre-evangelism things to draw people's attention.
You know, when I taught high school Sunday school, one of my main themes throughout the year that I taught it was this Bible was written a long, long time ago, but what was written in it is absolutely spot on with what's going on in our lives now.
Amen.
And what a miracle. You know, it has to be inspired by God in order to be something that doesn't grow old.
Yeah, exactly. The Word definitely is. Through the ages.
I think the need, the parables are earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In most instances, it's because Jesus' teachings are hard, and we can't take them all at once. He feeds them to us. He feeds them to us in areas of our life when we're ready to hear them. So, like the rich young man that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to get to heaven? Sell everything you have and follow me." That was too hard. You couldn't do that. So he doesn't do that. He does comes to you in these parables and gives them to you where you are in your spiritual life, and they'll have more meaning.
As people say, how do you eat an elephant? Say what? That's a good segue to this. Say what? Jesus did not purposely make his teachings confusing. Rather, it was the people's preconceptions that made his teachings seem hard. So again, the problem is not with God and his word. Rather, the problem is with us, our lack of understanding God, our limited ability. Romans 11 speaks to that. Exactly, yeah. Taking from the master teacher, yeah. Keep in mind, he is way above us, and yet he makes himself known to us. What other God does that for our good? Next section, Jesus calms the storm. We'll dispense of the reading of it. We served as one of our Gospel readings not too long ago in sermon text. What does calming the storm say about Jesus?
He's not a human, he's God.
All right.
I can tell the storm to stop. I think if you were lonely in Iowa, I could have stopped it the other day. Say, go away.
Yeah.
It isn't going to happen.
Right.
But he can.
He's not just a man, he is the Savior, he is God. Plus, he cares and shows that by teaching lessons. Sometimes the hard way. Note, now by his actions here, Jesus is demonstrating, I am not just someone who has power, I am power itself. Anyone and anything in the whole universe that has any power has it on loan from me. And you ponder that, keep in mind Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all his to begin with. We're to be good managers of stewardship, and we are to share evangelism, all that God has given to us. So there's an accountability factor that comes to play here. What reaction should have the disciples displayed in this situation?
Prayer.
Prayer.
Trust.
Be calm.
Be calm. Hey,
Jesus is with me. He's not going to let anything happen.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's natural to go those other ways, but faith prepares us to react in the way we need to go, that childlike faith. What were the disciples having difficulty getting their minds around?
He was alive.
And he's a what?
He's alive.
He's alive. Okay.
That he's God.
Right?
We're locked in the physical world, so we can see everything with the physical.
So his identity and his power. Psalm 46 makes that same point. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble. He knows what we're going through, and that's why he also can say, be still and know that I am God. Proverbs 3, trust in God, not just a little bit, but completely. And don't rely on ourselves, on our reason. That tends to be a distraction.
So again, our ability to think and rationalize is a gift, but the Word of God, even the parts we don't understand, that's where our faith needs to rest. We'll give this something to further think about, Lord willing, next week. God, continue to bless you in your study of His Word and keep you close to Him. And may His ruling activity in you increase and also through you start an increase in the lives of others. Have a great day. Thank you.